As I've said last week, and we have seen that where just the name of these cities we find to be quite enlightening and instructive. Last week we looked, of course, there were six cities: Kadesh, Shechem, Hebron, Bezar, Ramoth, and Golan. I brought your attention last week to the fact that in recent times we hear a lot about Golan. It is the point of contention between the Arabs and Israel, and Golan Heights, there in the Middle East, have come up in the news quite a lot over the past few years as it relates to Israel and the Palestinian. Well, this was one of the place chosen by God through Moses and Joshua to be cities of refuge. Last week we looked at Kadesh, and that name, well, keep in mind that the cities of refuge, they were pointing to Jesus Christ and the church. And some of the blessings that would be available in Christ and the church. So, Kadesh means called out, separate, or to set apart. It means holy. All of this, remember, this city, Kadesh, means holy, separate, set apart. And this is exactly what the church is. The very word church, ecclesia, means, as I said last week, God's called and called out. That's what the church is. This is not the church. This is the building in which the church meets. We are the church. And we are God's call. He called us by the gospel. And I need to drop here again. God didn't call us by a dream. He didn't call us by a vision. He did not send an angel to wake us up out of our bed, because that is not the way God is calling men and women today. The Bible tells us in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14 that we are called by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Meaning, Mr. Mitchell, that every time you hear a true gospel message, it is the Almighty God speaking to you to give your life to Jesus Christ. Every child of God is God's called and God's called out, because we are called out of the world. Now, we look today on the second city, Shechem. Shechem. Remember, we pointed out, and as most of you are well aware, that the names of these cities is in place like Joshua 20, Deuteronomy 19, Numbers 35. Shechem. What does this mean? The word mean shoulder. The word mean support. The word Shechem means pillar. Did you say, Brother Mitchell, that these cities were pointing to Jesus Christ and the church? Yes. And you have just said that among the meaning of the word Shechem is pillar. Huh? Support. Of course, shoulder. All of this was pointing to the church. Take, for example, support and pillar. Did you listen to the passage the brother read this morning from 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15? Let us hear it again. Start again, brother, from verse 14.
These things write I unto thee.
These things I am write to you, Paul said to Timothy.
Hoping to come unto thee.
He said, I have a plan to come in your region, in your direction. But
if I tarry long.
In case my plan didn't work out, I am sending this guide, this information, that this directive to you, because it is necessary for you and the church.
That thou mayest know.
That you may know
how thou art.
How thou art
to behave thyself.
Behave thyself in
the house of God.
The house of God. Wait. What is that? Read on, brother.
Which is the church of the living God.
Did somebody hear that? That the church is the house of God. We have spent quite a few weeks, and that some weeks ago, Jacob had in the book of Genesis, chapter 28, many years, hundreds of years before Christ, got the vision that the house of God is the gate of heaven. And we are now told that the house of God is the church. Read, brother.
The pillar and ground of the truth.
What?
The pillar.
It is what, brother?
The pillar.
It is what, brother?
The pillar.
But, Brother Mitchell, didn't you say that's what she can mean? Yes. And when we read this, that Shechem was one of the city of refuge that was given to the children of Israel some 900, or rather, 1,200 years before the church, before Jesus Christ. What did you just read there, brother, in verse 15? The pillar
and ground of
and
the truth.
Ground. Wait. Ground, brother, means support. Are we all there? Support. That's what the church is. So when the Almighty God throws Shechem as one of the city of refuge, it was pointing to the church. That's right. It was pointing to the church of Christ. Because the church of Christ is the pillar and support of the truth. But not only that. One theologian points out that It may well be that it's not only pointing to the church, but it was pointing to that which is available in Jesus Christ. Are we all there? Are we all there? Amen. Is it Job? Man that is born of a woman going to experience a lot of problem in this life? Didn't I read that somewhere in Job? As we go through this life, there will be challenge for all of us. Your challenge is not my challenge. My challenge is not yours, because the challenges and the problems and the issues of life, they come in dozens of different forms. And you know what? We need somebody wiser than we are, stronger than we are, to help us with these challenges, to guide our path, to guide our mind how to address them. In Jesus Christ, you have support. In Jesus Christ, you have a shoulder. Wait, where is it found that casting all your cares upon him? Is it Peter or John? For he careth, Cheryl, it's good to see you in worship. Really glad that God has brought you around, that you can be back and be among the saints. Let us find the passage. Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Well, 1 Peter 5:7. Read, brother. Michael, if you have it, read.
Casting all your cares upon him.
For he cares for you. Why should you cast your care upon him? When parents, when you have issues and problems, you know, throw it upon the little 5-year-old pickney, you know. You don't do that, because that little 5, 6, 7, 8-year-old doesn't have the experience and the understanding. What is the point, Brother Mitchell? You cast your care, you take your issue, your problem, your challenges to a person who you think have the experience and the thoughtfulness to help give you guidance. So that is one of the reasons we can take it to Jesus Christ. He has a strong shoulder. Casting some of your care upon him. Thank you. All your care upon him. Shechem, shoulder. For he careth for you. Anything else in the verse there, brother? Be sober.
Be vigilant.
Be vigilant. You see, we have an enemy. Huh? We have an enemy. And that is one of the reasons we need a shoulder, support, a pillar. One of the central purposes of the church, both the church collectively and the church individually, one of the central purposes of the church is to preach and teach the truth of the gospel of Christ. That is one of the main purpose of the church. And as I've said, both the church collectively and the church individually. Look to the book of Ephesians chapter 3 from verse 9, I think, to verse 13, Ephesians chapter 3. Let us look at that. We are still on the fact that when God chose Shechem as one of the cities of refuge, that name Shechem means pillar, and it means support. Remember, I usually use these columns
to point out that column is a pillar. What do you mean, Brother Mitchell? It bears the weight of the building. Those are beams. That's a pillar. Lot of the weight of the building rests on it. And that's the concept in the word pillar and shoulder. You see, when we lift weight and lift anything that we have to lift up, the shoulder comes into play. That's right. Did I ask you, tell you that one of the main purposes of the church is to preach and teach the gospel? And by church, I mean the church individually, that is, each of us, and the church collectively as we work together. In the passage of Ephesians chapter 3, from verse 9, I think, through verse 13, bear this out. Let us hear it, brother.
And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the
mystery. And to let all men see what is the
fellowship of the mystery.
Fellowship of the mystery.
Which from the beginning of the world.
Which from the beginning of the world was.
Have been hid in God.
In God.
Who created all things
the
by Jesus
God
Christ.
The same God who created all things through Jesus Christ. Read on.
To the intent that
Wait. To the intent. Brother Mitchell, what does that mean? Thank you for asking. That means with this purpose in mind. To the intent. With this goal or objective in mind. What goal or objective in mind? Read.
The intent that now unto the principalities.
Unto the principalities.
And powers in heavenly places.
Where are these principalities and powers found, brother?
In heavenly places.
You know, brother, that is referring to the angels? That's right. Unto principalities and powers in heavenly places.
Might be known by the church, the money.
I always find this passage wonderful and encouraging. That we human beings that comprise the church of Christ, we become the enlighteners, the instructors, the teachers of powers in heavenly places. What did you say that referred to, Brother Mitchell? Angels. Read now, brother.
Church, the manifold.
Wait. Go over that again for me. Just. Because I broke the connection and I want to make sure everyone understands.
To the intent that.
That's right. You pick up at the right place. With this in mind.
The intent that now unto the principalities. And powers.
Unto principalities. That angel. G-E-L-S. Angel.
And powers in heavenly places.
Uh-huh.
Might be known by the church, the manifold.
Now, might be known. That is, might be known unto these. Principalities and powers in heavenly places. Who going to make them known? The church. The church. One of the main purposes of the church is teaching and preaching the gospel individually. That is. There's one. Okay, man. Brothers and sisters, you're fond. When you hear that radio program on RGR, you're helping to make that possible. That's right. The funds you give that used to preach the gospel, you're participating in that. And every time I make a promise, because I saved that message. So sometimes when I turn on the answering machine, it's always there. Your program is too short. If I'm money, more than give you let you have 1 or 2 hours on the radio. That's right. But you are helping to preach the gospel. But you know what, brothers and sisters? It's not only your money. For example, the gospel meeting coming up, the flyers that we are preparing or will be preparing that leave, that will be left in people's home with simple message, you make that possible. On all the expense, but may I? Don't ever feel overly complacent, self-satisfied with that. You, as an individual, must look for opportunities to share the truth that you have learned. That is you, your person, not just your money. Read on. Might be known by the church.
The manifold.
The manifold, many-sided wisdom of God. Angel, look to see the wisdom of God being unfolded in the church as men and women became Christian. Because it was not until Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection that angel realized how God would finally and ultimately deal with man's sin. Angel, it seems, had been confused when they see man's sin and man continue to live. Angel knew that the wage of sin is death. They knew this much more than we do. And throughout the decades and centuries, men and women were sinning, but they continued to live. Then angels saw what God brought in some animal sacrifice, and the angel knew that that cannot deal with sin. They wonder what was going on. Animal blood. We know that that can't be. Angel knew that. So they were confused. That's why the Bible says it was hid in God. The Almighty God knew how to keep a secret, even from the angel who served him. Wait. I'm not even sure that Satan knew throughout the Old Testament period. Are we all there? As Satan beguile and guide men and women to go against God. Satan too did know how God would redeem man. Because God, the Bible says it was hid in God. But when the time came, the Bible says when the fullness of time came, God sent his son. That's right. It was then that angel and men realized that the unfolding of God's plan would be done in the church of Christ. That passage, if you are here as a visitor and want to understand more and better, write down the passage of Ephesians chapter 3, and from verse 9, I had said verse 13, to verse 11. You don't reach 11 yet. Read on then.
According to the eternal purpose.
That means, brother, this purpose, this plan for the church to preach not only to men and women. Yeah?
Which he purposed.
Wait, not take time with me. I'm slow. Not only to flesh and blood, but to angels. Spiritual being, we are opening their eyes when they see how God, when I imagine an angel take great interest when they see a man baptized, or a woman baptized. Are you out there?
And they realize that that person is forming a solidarity with Christ in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Hey, angel probably shake them head and say, my God, all these centuries we didn't know. What a wisdom of God. That in that simple step of salvation, when that man or woman is buried under the water, it is a likeness of Jesus Christ being buried in the tomb. When that man or woman repents, it is a likeness of Jesus' death. When that man or woman comes from the water, it is a likeness of Jesus' resurrection. I'm here saying to you that angel astonished over that. It is in the church of Christ they learned that. God had hid that from them. From the foundation of the world. Read on.
According to the eternal purpose. Which he purposed in Christ Jesus.
Which he had planned in Jesus Christ.
Oh Lord.
Mm-hmm.
In whom we have boldness and access.
Wait. Thank God. You notice boldness to fight the lion, to hold the wheel in the sea? No. That's not that boldness. This boldness means you can go to God with confidence. When you have issues and you want a strong shoulder, you can go get in your little corner and talk to God. He is your God through Jesus Christ. So it says we have two things here, brother. Boldness and
access.
Access. That means you can reach him through Jesus Christ.
Confidence!
Thank you, brother.
By the faith of him.
True, the faith that we have in Christ. That's what verse?
Verse 12.
Yeah, you can stop there, because we have some more passage to cover. According to God's plan and purpose, it is true. And by the church that the truth of the gospel must be preached and sinners set free. Are we all there? The church, individually and collectively, we must believe the truth of the gospel. We must live the truth of the gospel. We must teach the truth of the gospel. We must defend the truth of the gospel, and we must support the truth of the gospel. The church. Individually and collectively.
Wait. The church of Christ. Now, it faces many challenges.
But it has always faced challenges.
Wait, the people of the first century faced challenges. Problems. It might not be in the same kind we now face, but they face challenges. The church has always faced challenges. In fact, then, like now, the church faced atheism. That is, men and women, philosophers who did not believe in God. The church faced critics.
Men and women who search for reason to criticize the Christian and the church. Are we there? The church then and now, but especially now, face mistaken identity. You know, that's interesting. mistaken identity, where every little place that have the name church or God on it, men and women out there believe that it is the true church. That's a terrible situation. That's mistaken identity. So you find when a lot of men and women want to serve their God any little place that is convenient for them or do things that they like, they join up. That's a challenge for the church. Mistaken identity. Put another way, Satan muddy up the water. That men and women don't know what is true from what is false. And even men and women who have been attending the church, who got baptized in the church, they also are confused at times. Because a lot of Christians don't make it to place like Bible study. Where you can learn so much. Where you can ask questions. Where you can express the thought you have in mind. And a lot of times there are other Christians. So that if the thought you have in mind is not in keeping with the truth, somebody can point it out. So many people, they come to church once a week. And they deprive themselves of so much. So there are a lot of things they cannot deal with, and one of those are mistaken identity. They don't know. They counterfeit from the rail. They got a lot of times the counterfeit look just like the real thing. In fact, so much so that banks have to come up, ask experts to design ink and machine to detect counterfeit note. Are we all there? Where are you going, Brother Mitchell? Same place where I am. That mistaken identity, where anything with God, church, or Christ on it, men and women just assume that's a place where I can serve my God. No, God in the book of Revelation chapter 2 and I think verse 9 refer to them that they are nothing but the synagogue of Satan. But you know what they were calling themselves? Jews. That means they were saying we are God's people. They were not calling themselves synagogue of Satan. So I'm saying the counterfeit, sometimes it takes a little deeper knowledge. And this is why, as I've said, bank have to ask expert to design ink and machine and light. So you go to bank with your Mr. Shearer, no? Is he on the 5,000 note? Who is on the 5,000? Nanny. Okay, you go to the bank with Nanny. That's right, a Shearer on the 5. That's right. You go to the bank with Mr. Shearer on the note, and the bank teller, no, just take it and drop it in the drawer. They flip the machine and pass it on that. Because that machine was designed. You see, but why them have to have machine? Why them just look at it? Just looking at it cannot tell you. What is the point, Brother Mitchell? That's why we need a little deeper knowledge to know wrong from right. Especially as it comes to the counterfeit. In comparison to the genuine. And many Christians who have been in the church for years are unable to do that. You see, you are depriving yourself So the church faced many challenges. The church faced the challenge of unbelief. Men and women, day by day, and feel they have become so modern, they want to show reason why the Bible is just another book. That's right. But anytime you hear a man or a woman says that, you know that that person has not read the Bible much. Because once you have read this book of God, even to a little extent, you will discover that man could not produce it. So the church faced the challenge of unbelief, religious falsehood, and all of that. Look at 1 Corinthians 1, 18 through 25. Well, we won't have time to read that. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, chapter 4, verse 1 through 3. 2 Timothy chapter 4 again, but this time 1 through 4. That's right. Bible tells us the challenge that we face. Read.
I charge thee therefore. Before God.
And the Lord Jesus Christ.
Who shall judge the quick.
Who are going to judge the living.
And the dead.
At his appearing.
And his kingdom.
Wait. That is saying that every man in this building today will be judged. There is no exception. You are going to be judged by God, and you are going to be judged in reference to, did you obey the gospel or did you live a disobedient life? Read.
Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season.
That means, brother, preach it when men are accepting it. And preach it when they are not accepting it. That's what it means, in season and out of season.
Amen.
When they are responding positively to it, preach it. When they are responding negatively to it, preach it. Amen. Because that is what is going to judge the world, the gospel of Christ. And the duty of the church, collectively and individually, is to teach and preach the gospel. Read, brother.
Reprove.
Rebuke. Exhort with all long suffering.
And doctrine.
Wait. What he's saying there, Timothy, there will be some consequences when you reprove, when you rebuke, when you correct men and women. They will get at you. But preach it anyway. Read.
For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine.
Yeah. Brother, you see how a countryman like me? The moment the Bible used the word sound, I automatically apply that to my country meaning. Because a lot of time when we take up the little pan to go river and catch water and think it was sound. That's right. It's when we catch the water and put it on where we see it, a wet we up. It has a hole in it. That's right. Doctrine that are not sound are doctrine that have hole in it. That's right. They are doctrine that leaks. But the doctrine of Jesus Christ doesn't have any hole in it. Time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine.
But after
they will not want the truth. Brother, when you tell men and women that there is one true church, they will not like that. And that is the truth. When you tell men and women, you must be baptized in order to be saved, they will not accept that. When you tell men and women, confirmation and sprinkling are not baptism. There are people who will not accept that. Sound doctrine. Read on, brother.
But after their own lust.
After their own likeness. Isn't that what we... In fact, so much so is that so today that we are advised almost, especially like Sunday, find the church of your choice. That's find the church of your likeness. May I? I have some news for you. I want to make sure you get it. Listen carefully. A special news this. In fact, it is breaking news. The Almighty God never did give man any church of his choice, of man's choice. The church is purely God's choice. And he gave one. One. The Bible teaches that in the same way you have many false gods but one true God, the Bible teaches it's the same way you have many false church but one true church, but the church of your choice. What it says, dear brother? After their likeness, they shall heap to themselves
teachers.
Teachers. Wait. That is telling us why you have so many denominations. It's after men's likeness. You can always find a church to suit your peculiar ways, whatever you like. May I? One day, if you can find a savior of your choice, one day, if you can search and find a savior of your choice, then, right then, you will find the church of your choice. But if you cannot find a savior of your choice, Mr. Mitchell, why are you saying that? Because, you see, I know, and the Bible tells me that God gives us one savior. Jesus Christ, and that he gives the world one true church. So if you can find the church of your choice, you can also find the savior of your choice. But I'm here telling you that you cannot find the savior of your choice. You know what? You'll have to be satisfied with the savior that God gives to the world. Because that's the only one that can meet man's sinful need. Are we all there? Oh, Lord, it's time to end the lesson. Time. That was chapter 4 of 1 Timothy.
2 Timothy 4.
Okay, you didn't read 1 Timothy yet?
No, not as yet.
Okay, let me hear a little of 1 Timothy now. Please, quick.
Now the Spirit speaketh expressly.
That is the Holy Spirit speak directly. The word expressly means directly. Speak directly on this subject.
That in the latter times.
Brother, that's the time in which we are living. We are living in the latter time.
Some shall depart from the faith.
Wait, you notice, brother? You notice what it says? Oh, Lord, have mercy. Notice what it says. It is the faith. Huh?
Amen.
Huh? May I? This does not refer to your belief. Does not refer to your belief. The faith refers to the teachings of Jesus Christ. And notice, it is the faith means it is one. And it was referring to the one body of belief and teaching or doctrine that Christ gives to the church. Some shall depart from the faith. Amen. That is the teachings of Christ. Sprinkling represents a departure. Confirmation is a departure from the faith. Keeping Sabbath is a departure from the faith. That man doesn't have a soul is a departure from the faith. That you should pray to Mary is a departure from the faith. That church become a money-making place is a departure from the faith. That men and women can throw themselves in the dirt and talk about it is the Holy Spirit. That is a departure from the faith. Some shall depart from the faith. And you know who will be guiding them? Giving heed to what type of spirit, brother?
Giving heed to seducing spirits.
That's the devil. The devil. Those spirits under the devil's control. Seducing spirit, spirit that seduce the minds of men. Read on a little more now.
And the doctrines of devils.
You see, brother, whatever God has given to the world, the devil has given counterfeit. So here the Bible tells us the faith is the teaching or doctrine of Christ. But the devil also has his teaching. You think the devil's teaching is being taught in places that call itself the devil's church? Satan is wiser than that. He's going to call itself even Church of Christ, Church of God, Pentecost. They're going to a Bible name. So we have to learn to study the Bible consistently, prayerfully, to be in a position to distinguish the counterfeit from the genuine. I'm closing. I wanted to go on, but to the fact that Jude tells the church how to meet these challenges. But we'll not deal with that today. Not only that, as I close, I intended within a 15 minutes of this lesson to divert from the lesson a little. In fact, probably it would take up the rest of the lesson. But I just couldn't. And what I wanted was to, I'm just saying it now because I may pick up on that next week Sunday. And that is, the brother is have his invitation ready. We are closing. I said I planned to divert from the lesson while staying somewhat in the lesson. And that is I would go back, listen, to the book of either Deuteronomy 19 or Numbers 35 or Joshua 20. Dealing with the city of refuge. Watch here now. The people who have the right to run for shelter and protection in the city of refuge are those who kill a person, but it was unpremeditated. Those who kill premeditatedly, the pursuer, the slayer of blood, could catch that person and kill him. But the man who take a life unpremeditatedly, that person had the privilege to go and seek shelter in the city of refuge. I want to show something, not today, because the lesson in, but I want to just, what I intend was to spend most of my time on this point, that what I find striking is we're doing wrong, and especially murder, if it was premeditated, you have no shelter in the city of refuge. But do you know what, brothers and sisters? And this is why I was tempted and still tempted to share with you some important things on this point of premeditation and unpremeditation. Because while the Almighty God is against wrong, and especially wrong to one another being premeditated, there is something else that God wants to be done premeditatedly. Did you know that worship must be premeditated? Are we all there? Did you know that worship must be planned and be prepared for? Did you know that worshiping God haphazardly and thoughtfully, the spur of the moment, impulsively, those worship might not be accepted by God? So here you have, on one hand, if you do it premeditatedly, you are in trouble with God. But on the other hand, God wants this to be premeditated. Next week, as we pick up on this lesson, we are going to be looking on how Jude tells the church to meet these challenges that the church face, and what the meaning of Abram, H-E-B-R-O-N, and that will be interesting. But right now, I mean right now, you can become a child of God, eh? I mean right now. You have heard enough today to save you, and you have heard enough to condemn you. Right now, we are going to be singing a song to God's glory and honor. And during the singing of this song, it will be a good time for you to respond to Jesus Christ's invitation of love. I mean, Christ wants to save you, not tomorrow. Right now, today. You know what he said? Today is the day of. If you hear his voice, when we preach Jesus Christ's truth to you, it was the Almighty God speaking through us to you. If you're a child of God who have grown unfaithful, tardy, weak, on and off, you need to recommit your life to Jesus Christ in a serious way. And I encourage you to be here, not only at service tonight, but next week when we pick up on this, worship must be planned for and be premeditated. Worship, it must not be a hazard. You need to be here to listen that lesson. But right now, you can come forward giving your life to Jesus Christ in faith, repentance, and baptism. Or you can come as a Christian who recognizes you have been slipping. You can come acknowledging your sin and seeking help and strength from God and fellow Christian. As we stand, Christ comes.